parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. It will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Time to take a big deep breath, a sigh, and tell yourself everything's all right. Because David Carey is in the studio once again. David, good afternoon to you.
Couldn't be happier to be here, Sean.
Here's your first question. My son is 8 years old and attends a Catholic primary school. He is currently in second class, and my wife and I have decided to raise him up with non-religious beliefs, as that is what our values are. This year he seems really unhappy, feeling down in himself and anxious in school, even though his grades are in all subjects are quite high, and has no problem socialising with peers and no problems in previous years in school. We've also noticed that he does not get on too well with his teacher. We've asked him to tell us how he feels, and he said he feels embarrassed and like a weirdo that he's not making his first Holy Communion. He also said that he would be the only one in his family that won't ever make his first Holy Communion, as he knows that myself and his mom have made ours, and nanny and granddad, cousins, etc. And when some adults ask him, "Are you making your communion?" he just says yes to conform and stop the awkwardness. Can you please help us, as the situation is getting worse, as some of his peers and people in general are talking about it as it gets closer to Holy Communion dates? Could my son be suffering from self-identity and belonging issues, or will it pass over time?
It will pass over time. He's not suffering from self-identity or belonging issues. This is the residue of what happens when we sometimes don't think things through very clearly and enroll our child as non-Catholic believing parents or non-religious parents whatsoever into a school that has a religious ethos. Mm. And what do all children want? They want to be like other children. So I would wager that it's likely, I don't know for a fact, that he's the only one in his class that isn't making their Holy Communion. And this is a big event in the life of our Catholic primary schools.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of integrated work across the curriculum in art, in SBHE, obviously in RE, in English, etc., etc., that touches on Holy Communion issues one way or another. And here's this young fellow, perhaps he's being excused from RE, religious education, which parents have a right, by the way, at primary school to say that I do not want my child to be presented with religious education, and the school must comply with that. But the reality is this school is under the ethos of the local Catholic diocese, and Holy Communion is a big deal. I'm sure children are talking about perhaps the sacrament itself, but more likely about all the goodies accrued from participating in
that
the sacrament.
Maybe an element, yes.
That could be an element.
Yeah.
And the joyous celebration around it, and it's being talked up and touted in school. He will get over this. Now, I don't know exactly what to do about it. I think you can sit down and have a chat and say, "Honey, we love you, and it's okay to be a little bit different, and it's fine, and sometimes being different hurts a little bit." You remember the Kermit the Frog song, "It's not easy being green"?
No, it's not.
You know?
He's right.
And, you know, it's hard to be the one who isn't doing the same thing as everyone else. Mm. Maybe you could create a little celebration for him with the family. I'm wondering what the family feels about this, by the way, the extended family, because they do make the point that everyone in the family has done First Holy Communion, including now the non-believing parents.
Yeah.
So we kind of could benefit from thinking through these scenarios before we plop our children into a situation over which they have absolutely no control, and now we have to try to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. Well, let's assume, though, because we don't know where these people live. Many people don't
could
have
be
an
the
option.
Only, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say that. Could be the only choice, the only game in town, which is unfortunate also.
Mm.
And then you have to, as a parent, kind of think through this. Okay, we don't believe, we're atheistic or agnostic or whatever label you want to hang on yourself. Do we want our child to go through the motions, like so many Catholics before and will follow, who are non-attenders and not particularly believers, et cetera? The world is filled with those kind of people, as well as it's filled with people of deep religious faith and beliefs. Or do we want to exclude him from it and have to pick up some of the pieces? I don't think this is going to cause irreparable damage to this little boy. I think he will get through it. You're going to face the same thing again. It's called confirmation.
Yeah. But you can bet your life there are other kids in his class making communion where mommy and daddy is going, have gone for option B.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll just do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Bit of a party, bouncy castle, few quid for the child, everyone's happy, and they won't see the inside of a church until the next big event.
I don't know what our listeners feel about option B. You know, if I was in that scenario, I'd probably opt for option B, to be honest.
Because that's what Irish Catholicism is. Going to Mass and not actually taking it that seriously.
Well, now you're making a bit of a generalization there,
Sean. But I think there's a proud tradition in this country of being hypocritical about it.
Well, it's,
or nuance, it's we not, can put it another way.
It's certainly not unique to this country.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born and reared in Irish America, and the sacraments were a huge part. And the vast majority of my same-age colleagues left that long ago and proceed rather happily through their life as best they can. You know, when do you see the inside of a church? Weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
Or your own children's sacramental ceremonies, etc. Back to the point of this little boy, I don't think you need to be terribly worried. I think it might be helpful to create a little celebration, get some family members involved, make the day a little special for him because he's not going to be able to participate or swap stories with his classmates about how their special day went.
Yeah.
Unless he has some kind of a special day too.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can go along smoothly. Don't be worried. This is not a scar that's going to last a lifetime. He'll shrug it off most as the rest of us do, and he'll be fine. I hope.
A few suggestions, listeners. Could the teacher do a lesson about how some kids make their communion, some don't? The teacher should normalize it in the classroom.
Well, that's not necessarily easy for a teacher to
do. Because they're probably, that's not the brief, so to speak.
For one thing, to be a primary school teacher in this country, it's mandatory that you have the RE cert, or I forget what it's called now. Mm. You have to have some kind of imprimatur, you know, to say that you can teach the RE curriculum. To go down that road could possibly be construed as deliberately violating the ethos of the school and can get the teacher in some trouble. I'm not saying that would happen, but it could possibly happen.
Yeah.
So it's not as simple as that texter believes.
Another texter says, let the poor kid make his own choice and make his communion. Maybe he wants to be Catholic.
Well, it's too late because they've already absolutely decided that that's not an option for him.
Well, if he's in a Catholic school, that means he's being baptized.
Correct.
So he could still go ahead and do it if he wanted to.
But it's not up to him.
Yeah.
It's up to the parents.
I know, but isn't it an interesting point though, that parents can often make these profound decisions for their children where, to a degree, they're saying, well, these are our values, and it might be the values as our neighbours or the people down the road, but our children are going to have these values, or at least until they reject them.
And it works on both sides of the coin. It works on the, I have no religious beliefs or faith beliefs whatsoever, and it works on the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
I have very deeply felt religious beliefs and will therefore indoctrinate my children into them.
Mm.
The founder of the kindergarten, Friedrich Froebel, back in the 18th century, stated, and his profound belief was, that religious education was always damaging to children because it bent their minds in a certain sort of way according to predetermined adult belief systems and didn't allow them to think things through clearly.
Mm.
Just throw that in there as an interesting point.
All right, yeah. Can you ask David how best to deal with an anxious and manipulative teen, I should say. She was self-harming last year. We got her counselled and attended Pieta House. It seemed to stem from body image. Recently, she started a Get Fit regime, and I'm noticing that she's getting a little jumpy and anxious again, and I'm concerned the self-image issues may raise themselves again. She has asked for a Fitbit, healthier food for lunch, stopped taking bread, butter on bread, etc., but will try everything to get what she wants. Even self-harming, I fear.
Well, there's an interesting word in there, manipulative teen. What is a manipulative human being? It is a person who cannot get their needs met through more socially acceptable channels. Interestingly, in adults, the use of the term manipulation is often an accolade and a positive. You know, so-and-so is the CEO of a major corporation, and he can manipulate matters such that it increases its profit margin by 200% in the past fiscal year, and that's a good thing. When we apply that same word to children, and especially teens, it's always a negative. So let's try to get away from the use of the word manipulative. I think what we have here are parents who are, rightfully so, quite afraid and worried that their child may self-harm again. Mm. Once self-harm happens, all the people who love and care for that person are always going to be a little bit anxious, or perhaps very anxious, that it can happen again.
Yeah.
Now, she's trying to eat a healthy diet. That doesn't necessarily mean that she's going down the road of impaired body image again, et cetera.
Yeah.
You've been to Pieta House, and I'm really glad you went down that route, because that is the single most appropriate form of venue for help for young people that self-harm. It mightn't be a bad idea to ring up the counselor back at Pieta House and clearly articulate your concerns. Maybe see if you and your partner, if you have one, can get an appointment without the girl to go through clearly what kind of behaviors you are seeing, words that you are hearing that are of concern to you. And the counselor probably can make a very educated call as to whether or not the girl needs to be seen again, or whether or not your fears and worries are founded.
Yes.
So let's get a little more information. I don't think we've enough here to raise the red caution flag just yet. But I certainly can understand, as a parent, how nerve-wracking it is when your beloved has self-harmed, gone through treatment, done better, but then begins to show some of the earliest warning signs that may be quite benign, but were there in the beginning that led to self-harm, and now you're very anxious and nervous about it. And of course, you're communicating that to the child as well. Ring up Pieta House, see if you can talk to the counselor that saw the child, if that counselor is still there. Run your concerns by them very specifically and articulately, short and sweet. See what they have to say.
Yeah. Okay, we do have to take a commercial break. After that, Three Noisy Daughters. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. A few comments on the question we got about the Holy Communion question, which obviously is going to exercise a lot of people. Maeve says you don't need to be, and a few people have said this as well, you don't need to be baptized to attend a public Catholic ethos school. I have two boys. We are no religion. She also says, instead of going with the masses and option two, some of us have to make a point of it. The establishment needs to realise we're not all Catholics here. Susan also on Twitter says, if the parents feel strongly about not rearing the child as a Catholic, they should not have put him in a Catholic school. But again and again, Susan, sorry, but a lot of people have made the point that there are many parts of the country where you don't have the option but to do that.
Yeah.
There may be an Educate Together school 30 or 40 miles away, but even at that, they're wildly oversubscribed in many, many cases. John says option B is the best path for any child and everybody involved. And when they're adults, they can make up their own mind. Exclusion as a child is more damaging at that young age, says John. Andrea says, when most of my son's class were doing their first Holy Communion, we had an amazing coming of age celebration, which he helped to organise. He loved it, and his classmates were jealous that he had so much input. Party fun, celebration, and even gifts.
Great idea. I like it.
Various options there. I'm from France. Both my parents are non-religious, but at 8, I chose to study religion and did my first communion and then my confirmation. Why not ask that boy if he'd like to study religion, i.e. not just do you want to do your communion? People should have a choice to explore and have different religious choices. Indeed, they should. You're right. Though then again, the kind of financial rewards and the fact that somebody else is everyone else is doing it, you probably can't ignore that either. We were in the same situation. We took our children out for the week before communion as it was getting stressful.
So you can get yourself in trouble that way too, you know. That's unexcused absence.
I have three daughters who are 5, 3, and 4 months. My older girls have such brilliant imaginations and are full of life. The problem is the noise. I'm a junior infant teacher, so I have a high tolerance for noise levels, but my girl's noise levels during play has gone through the roof. The baby has even started crying at times. I've tried talking about our inside and outside voices. We go outside as much as possible, but on a rainy day or when we have to stay indoors, I find myself constantly saying, keep it down, you're too noisy, play quieter. My five-year-old in particular loves her baby sister, and what starts off as gentle lullabies turns into top of her voice singing. I can see my baby look on in fear. I don't want to ruin their fun and stifle their creativity, but my God, my ears can't take anymore. Any suggestions?
I'm very surprised that this is a junior infant teacher who can't solve this problem. Now I'm going to solve it for you, junior infant teacher. We have three voices, not two. We have outside voice. That's when we talk very loudly so someone far away can hear us. We have class voice or inside voice in the family home. Mm. And that's where we talk so people around us can hear us. But it's a different kind of voice than outside voice. And we have partner voice. That is when we're with one other person and we're talking quietly with them and other people around us can't hear exactly what we're saying. There is absolutely no point in talking about these three voices or in using visual aids and structures such as the old stop sign, the red light, the yellow, and the green, which is often used in classrooms, unless you playfully rehearse them with the children. Mm. They can't automatically modulate their vocal volume just because we think they can. They get overly excited. They rev up their volume, and of course, it drives us crazy. And a lot of the time, we just tell them to stop, take a deep breath, and it goes away, and that's good enough. But this is a situation, according to Mom here, where it's out of control and hurting the little baby and hurting her ears as well and probably giving her headaches. You need to rehearse playfully over and over and over again the different voices.
Yeah.
You train the children's brain and vocal cords to learn what inside voice is, and also to practice, most importantly of all, partner voice, because that's a really important voice.
Mm.
So we have three voices that we use in school and inside the confines of the family home, and we don't just talk about them. We playfully rehearse, rehearse, rehearse until they're mastered, and it doesn't take that long. As long as we do it playfully and joyously, without communicating to the child that they're being scolded for being too loud. And by the way, it's every child in the world's right once in a while to be a little bit too loud.
Ah, yeah. Sure, that's, yeah.
We don't want to crush them
no.
into subservience and whispers.
I'm wondering what I can do to get my children to be respectful to me. They would never be so disrespectful to their father because he's strict. I would simply like to have the respect without the strict rules. How can I make this happen? They are 5, 8, and 9.
Well, I wish I knew more about what was being, what's happening here when they. It's said that the children are being disrespectful. Does that mean using very unpleasant and unfortunate language? Does that mean ignoring? If there is a different interaction between one parent and the other, and one parent is getting very positive interactions and one is getting very negative interactions, it is the duty and responsibility of the parent receiving positive interactions to correct the children and insist that they speak in the same tone, in the same volume, and using the same vocabulary with the other parent.
Yeah.
And to scold them if they do not do that.
Mm.
So one parent must protect the other in the sanctity of the family home so that both are treated equally. I have no idea what's going on in the past here that these children are, in inverted commas, disrespecting the one parent. I wish I knew more about what that meant. But as a short-term solution, I would suggest you speak to your parenting partner, this is the husband in this case, and say, I need your help. I need some backup here.
Yeah.
The children are not listening to me. They're talking rudely, whatever the case may be, whatever this disrespect is. And I really need you to back me up here, honey.
Mm.
And a loving partner will do just that. And that usually will solve the problem. It doesn't take too many interventions to help the children recognize that they must treat both parents with respect. And by the way, I want you to question yourself and observe yourself and make sure you are respectful to them.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because when people use that word respectful, They can mean slightly different things sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it means subservience. Do exactly as I say when I tell you, you know, how high when I tell you to jump.
Yeah.
So a little self-reflection, I think, can be helpful in this case.
My 13-year-old son is now in first year. He's so disorganized, it's unbelievable. He's getting into so much trouble in school for turning up to class with the wrong books or no books. He brings home the wrong homework books. He loses things, shoes, guitars, etc. He's always been this way, but now he's in secondary school. It's really affecting his schoolwork and causing terrible problems at home. How can I help get him organized?
Well, two things leap out at me. One, this boy may require an assessment because this sounds like it's quite a significant issue that has always been present. Mm. And in secondary school, it always gets worse. Second thing that leans out to me is secondary school. For God's sakes, let's stop punishing children for being disorganized, forgetful, not having their right book in the right class, and instead start supporting them. What's happening here is his brain isn't ready to do that. These are executive functions. Prefrontal lobe functions that are not matured in this boy. They're not going to change automatically. It's not going to happen by yelling at him. It requires some support in school and support at home. You need to ring up the school. You need to talk to resource teacher and ask some simple questions of the resource teacher. What kinds of things do you do to help children who are very poorly organized? What methodologies do you suggest I can bring into the family home? Because a good resource or special education teacher will have all those tools as part of their repertoire of teaching skills, and they'd be very happy 9 times out of 10 to talk to you about them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I suggest. But I really want the school to step up here and help this boy. We just can't keep let him flounder and hope it magically disappears. He's been like this all his life. This could be an ADHD issue. Don't want to diagnose over the phone.
Yeah.
But I think it needs some looking into. It is not going to go away on its own, and it will inevitably cause huge problems in terms of academic skill acquisition, as well as frustration from the teachers, some of whom may become very cross with him. Mm-hmm. For not having the right resources at hand when it's needed in the classroom. And if he falls into the punishment and criticism trap, it's incredibly damaging to self-esteem and self-confidence.
Going back to the Noisy Daughter, someone says, I found the Mr. Noisy book from the Mr. Men series a great help for explaining appropriate voices and noise levels. Someone else says, so that teacher with the loud children at playtime, earplugs, work for me when needed. I'm a musician and play with loud drummers and wear plugs, but when the kids go off, wow, it still penetrates with them in. there's I think, a frequency thing.
Noise-canceling headphones, maybe.
There's certain sorts of noise that you just can't keep out.
Don't you know?
David, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
David Carey there. We're going to take a break. After that, we're going to be talking to a chap who had 27 teeth taken out of his mouth.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie.